When you're hiring, there's no luxury of time. So instead of waiting for people to see your sponsored post, invite them to apply. Get more at Indeed.com/credit. Welcome back to the program, hour number two of Betting Across America. And we are presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard, your host out here in fabulous Las Vegas. Your other host is in a Mile High City, James Salinas. 4-2, final now. We got Pittsburgh beating Detroit. Then we have a barn burner, I guess, out there in Cincinnati, James. 8-8 in the ninth inning now with the Diamondbacks and the Reds.
It's an old game we used to play back in the night. It was called yard ball, and the whole concept was they hit the ball. It was a really intense wiffle ball that you could put a lot of break to it, and it was a lot of fun, actually. I used to play it with kids ladies coach, but This is what this is. This is not hard ball anymore. This is flat out yard ball, and we see that now. It was 8-4 in the eighth inning, right, for Arizona, right. And then yard ball again for Cincinnati, multiple home runs, and now we're tied going into the ninth inning. So whichever bullpen can actually get somebody out, which at this point, give me a coin and we'll flip it, and probably it'll stand on its side at this point. I have no idea, because neither of these bullpens can get anybody out.
It was 4-2, I think, in the sixth inning when I showed up here at South Point.
Well, and that's why we were talking about it. You know, I was talking about when I first started betting baseball back in the 80s, and we didn't really get into bullpens, maybe closers, right? There was Eckersley. There was a number of great closers back then. But that's really what you talked about, and that's what you knew as far as the bullpen went. It was about the closer, because starters were going regularly. It was going 7 innings, 8 innings, and even complete games were not something that was not the norm, but it wasn't the exception like it is today. I just look at baseball now, and it's you can't with these bullpens, the way that they're set up and structured, and a bunch of fireballers, but these guys, a lot of guys tag is sitting there throwing 99, 100, 101 miles an hour, but these hitters can hit that. If you don't change speeds, you don't locate, right? Where if you're not changing eye levels and you're not able to change speeds and get the hitters off balance, they're just sitting dead red. And these guys, as fireballers come out, the harder it comes in, the harder it goes out. And that's exactly what we're seeing with this, not only with this game, but across the league with so many of these bullpens.
Absolutely. You know, I was looking at how many pitchers are 6'5", 250 in Major League Baseball and throws, 95 to 100 miles an hour, because these hitters, like you mentioned, they're seeing that all the time. It's the junk ball pitchers, I think, that are having more success at times. So changing the eye location and sequencing, like we talked about earlier in the first segment, for some of these hitters, because they're swinging for the fences. And if you're throwing at 95, 98, and they expect it, they're going to launch it.
Well, and that's why I'll look for pitchers, not throwers, right? Okay. Big difference is having an approach and a game plan. And that's why I think now I'm almost relegated to very rarely do I bet a game, a baseball game before it starts for a full 9 innings and what the outcome is. If I am, it's probably a total or a starter and or the bullpen that is really set up for that day because they've had either a couple days of rest, what have you. But rarely am I doing that. It's more so I'm betting team totals. I'm betting for first fives. That's the extent of what I'm doing. But we're only 3 weeks into the season, so long way to go with Major League Baseball.
Yeah, it's a marathon. Let's get to these win totals in the NFL, NFC South. The Buccaneers, 11.5. Okay, so they won 11 games last year, 11-5. Came on strong later on in the year, obviously, as they got their act together after the bye week. We got the extra game, 17 regular season games. James, what about the win total for the Buccaneers? 11.5, the over minus 120, the under plus 100.
Well, and keep in mind that that 17th game, that odd game, that ninth game for teams for the NFC, it's going to be a road game for them. So something to just to start thinking about when you dig into these. Now, you know me, I've with the scheduling piece. Mm-hmm. We know who they're going to play. We're not going to find out when they play them until May 12th. So that was just announced yesterday, I believe. So at least from that standpoint, that's great. Now we can at least start the process. I'm not going to bet any of these until I know exactly when they're going to play their schedule, because we know scheduling matters, not only for them, but their opponents too. Where are their opponents been leading up into this game, and where are their opponents going? Is there a bigger game on deck next week? All those kind of things. All you got to look at, I mean, we could go back into last year's schedule, Pritch, and dig through find so many flat spots for teams in those schedules. But all you got to go, I just think of the biggest upset last year, right? The Jets getting that W, they were desperate, playing a Rams team that was clearly, they had played played a number of big games prior to that, and they had a big game. I think it was at Seattle that next week. Mm-hmm. So clearly looking ahead, anything can happen in this league. So I think scheduling when they play them is really important for me. But looking at the Bucks here, you know, what's going to be the difference this year for the Bucks? We know Super Bowl, the Super Bowl champ, they're going to get everybody's best shot on their schedule. This is their, in a turn, their Super Bowl, at least a measuring stick for them of where they're going to go, where they stand and where they're at, what they got to work on going forward. But the one thing for Brady and that offense especially is they didn't have a preseason. And so it was, we saw that play out through the season, right? It was on the job training, real time, getting themselves acclimated to each other on the field as games played out. Now they'll get, in a sense, we know that these voluntary workouts, a lot of them are opting out of that. But eventually they're going to have time, unlike last year, to really get dialed in. So it's only going to get bigger and better for the Bucks here. It's hard for me to say with that I would want to go under with that, with all things said, just because of they're going to, especially offensively, even get more dialed in because of their offseason workouts coming up here over the next few weeks or months.
Right. I mean, I think with Brady, too, he's the ultimate chip guy. Like, if he can find a chip to put on his shoulder, then that's going to be his motivation, and then he's going to go to a Super Bowl and win. So what would be his chip this year? Like, what, to go back-to-back with Tampa Bay? I mean, everything he's done, nobody else has done it before. So I don't know what he would be chasing now. But maybe that's the research I need to do to find out, to figure out what his chip is going to be. And then, okay, if he's going to go over. Like, I agree with you. I don't see this team going under 11 and a half here.
Yeah, well, I think as far as the – he's a different breed when it comes to motivation, right? The guy is just wired. He is sitting on – we talk about the draft. We've been talking about it for another – we'll have another week to talk about the draft. He's still living on where he got picked in the draft 20 years ago, right? It still bothers him today. So he is such a driven, competitive athlete that he'll figure something out, whatever it is. Yeah, mm-hmm. Go back-to-back with a new team. Whatever it is, he will be absolutely driven. They already got it out of their system, right? They celebrated and they partied, throwing the trophy across the boats. And staggering off the boat, and they had their fun. All that's been sweat out now, and they're ready to get after it. So I think, yeah, there won't be a Super Bowl hangover for that team. They've already had that. They're moving forward. They're going to have a great season this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Incredible to think about. The Saints, you want to talk about a quarterback meaning a lot for your win total. Drew Brees no longer there. The Saints, who won 12 games last year, their win total 9 now, James. The over minus 110, the under minus 110.
Yeah, that's the challenge, right? Now Brees, what he does for you as far as a game plan goes. And yeah, we know they, over the last few years, really started to have it to dial some of those things back, just didn't have the arm strength that he once did, but had the experience to sit back in that pocket and make right reads and good decisions with the football. Just sometimes his arm wasn't always going to follow suit with where he wanted to go with the ball. The arm wasn't always going to cooperate as far as strength of and accuracy of the throw. But I think that's the big intangible going here for the Saints, right? It's just not only with Brees not being there, but just think about the last handful of heartbreak that they've had in the playoffs. And eventually, when does the team hit the wall with that? When does it finally come to, you think about the game in Minnesota, right? The last second loss that they had to the Vikings, and the play against the Rams right there in the NFC Championship game. And now with Brees being gone, like, when does this team finally hit the wall to be like, we've exhausted our energy and our emotion as far as chasing that Super Bowl, getting back, you know, getting into the playoffs and making the run and getting back to the Super Bowl here? And then looking at their schedule again, we don't know when they play. I think it's always key to know when they play, but looking at the schedule here, not a lot of layups on this schedule. They will be having the fans back in the stadium, so that is always an advantage. One of the places in the NFL where we know that Superdome, when it's full, is definitely an advantage. But they got some it's not an easy schedule that they're going to have to balance. They're going to host, outside of the division, a couple interesting games there, thinking about the Packers coming in. Packers always play well there and were able to win last year, even though there weren't many fans in the stands, and Buffalo coming in there, and then looking at some of those road games, a couple layups on there when you're talking about the Jets, but not a lot of easy games on that schedule. Road trips to Seattle, Tennessee, playing Washington, that defense at the Washington football team on the road as well. Tough schedule here. Initial lean would be looking at the under. I think finally they're going to break. They're going to hit the wall here, and the quarterback position is a huge question mark.
Okay, and then Carolina with the new quarterback, 7.5 is their win total. The over -110, the under -110 as well.
Yeah, that's probably the team that we just don't know. What is it going to look like with Darnold going in there and Bridgewater? Yeah, there were limitations as far as playmaking ability goes, but, you know, as a smart quarterback as well. Well, now what is Darnold going to look like away from Adam Gase, away from New York City? I really just don't know. I think that's one right there that I could go either way with that. Over, under, that would probably be one where I'd really want to know that I have their opponents in front of me here, but I'd want to know when they're playing those opponents, because that's probably somewhere I'd probably lean under still, just because there are still a lot of holes, and especially defensively, I think of the back end and the safety and not getting a lot of pass rush outside of Burns on one of the edges. So what do they do in the draft might have a little bit of an influence there, but I don't really know, because the X factor is Darnold, and let's see what he does now going to Carolina. I think it's a work in progress for sure.
Yeah, you know, I was looking for an angle there, perhaps, whether or not the draft too would or could influence this win total. I'm not seeing anything that would be significant enough for the Panthers. If they go offensive line, for instance, I mean, still a new quarterback, right? And he still has to ingrain himself and get used to his new players there in Carolina.
Yeah, so I think that's where it's, and they all got to get acclimated together. Mm-hmm. And Darnold's just the one. You can think he was in a bad situation, which he clearly was, in the dysfunction that was the New York Jets. But how much of that could he have been able to rise above that? I really don't know. It's so hard when you're just in that such a tough situation with such a bad football team. There's only so much you can do at any position, even the quarterback position, to lift your team. And a team like the Jets, it was bound to happen. And fresh start for him for sure, but does that translate to getting 8 wins for the Carolina Panthers? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Okay, how about the Falcons, my old team? 7.5 is the win total. The over -110, the under -110. So you talk about a draft that could influence the win total here. What if Atlanta gets Pitts to add to Julio Jones and Ridley, and you got Matt Ryan still at quarterback? I mean, a new offense coordinator, new head coach, I get it, but yet a talented roster, though.
Well, we talked about a fresh start, right? And I was thinking about the Saints. When are they, you know, when Peyton's been there forever and all the heartbreak that they've had over the last few years in the playoffs. Same could be said for the Falcons and just dumping that Super Bowl a handful of years back, 28-3 lead midway through the third quarter, couldn't hold it. And now I just feel like they never recovered. Dan Quinn never recovered. Now it's a complete makeover as far as the front office and the coaching staff, right? Maybe that's the fresh start the Falcons need to some degree, that, all right, now we're moving forward. That era is behind us now, and yeah, plenty of talent offensively, and if you add Pitts into the mix, that's really interesting, right? You talked about how difficult that would be for him if he matched up in San Francisco. Now you don't have a George Kittle on the other side there in Atlanta, but you do have terrific wide outs in Ridley and with Julio out spread out wide and the ability to move them around. So yeah, putting butts in the seats and scoring points, maybe this is the fresh start that they need. And then you look at the schedule here and looking at some of these home games, they get a couple outside of the division, right? They got a couple layup home games there where you get to host the Lions and the Jets. So digging into that schedule some more, where, you know, some of the road games too, you get a game at Jacksonville, who's in rebuild mode there. Not really sure what to say with the Dallas, and then the Giants, a rebuilding team as well. Maybe potential for the Falcons to go over. This would be one that I want to dig into when the schedule is released, because then now we'll know clearly when they're going to face those particular opponents.
You know, James, every time I look at props and odds, win totals, I circle back to the 49ers and what they're going to do with their pick. I mean, it makes sense for Pitts to go to Atlanta, but they have Hayden Hurst already. They have a tight end. But yet it doesn't make sense for Pitts to go to San Francisco because they have George Kittle. Like, I'm trying to understand that. But the more I try to understand it, the more it makes sense for San Francisco to draft Kyle Pitts.
50-1, man.
Right.
Well, for Pitts and giggles, we can throw a little dollar on that for 50-1. I think then from there, then it happens. What does Atlanta do it for? That's the other question mark too. Are they looking to? Obviously, they got a lot of holes. You think about the offensive line and the plenty of holes on the defensive side too. What do? Do they trade out of that spot? Somebody hungry for a quarterback to move up there? Now you've got a number of quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. If they don't go with, or even if they do go? Let's say they go with Mac Jones at San Francisco. You still have Fields. You have Lance, the project there. Somebody like Denver or somebody else really, really wanting to jump up into that fourth spot. Do the Falcons trade back and get some more draft capital and start to look at a bigger picture here to fill a number of holes? And that could be the move. That's that. I think from 3 to 4, those are the two ones that are so up in the air, depending on what San Francisco does. I think will kind of dictate what Atlanta does.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I think this draft, if it would be boring all right now if we knew 1, 2, and 3 were all going to be quarterbacks. I mean, where would the excitement be in that?
Well, and that, well, I guess that's the excitement. Whatever draft, hopefully they've speed up the draft piece. We talk about the length of baseball games and how long they take. That's kind of how I feel about the draft too.
Right.
I can take an eight, wake up, and we're still in the top 10 as far as picks go. Speed up the draft. Let's get some excitement there too. But at 50-1 with Pitts going third to San Francisco, that'll get you fired up, Pritch.
Pitts and giggles. I love that. I do. Absolutely. And the crapshoot aspect too. So, I mean, make it worth your while. I mean, that's my philosophy here. We're going to continue with some NFL win totals. We're going to travel to the AFC South and hit those teams. Some regression, I think, based on quarterbacks. That's coming up next. Now based in Louisville, Kentucky, the Ron Flatter Racing Pod this week features trainer Steve Asmussen, who discusses his Kentucky Derby horses, Midnight Bourbon, and Superstock, as we has his chances for this next week's Kentucky Oaks as well. The Los Angeles Times turf writer John Sherva is also along to talk about how racing coverage has changed for him in recent years. There's also Twitter feedback on the dispute that limits Nevada betting on racetracks around the country. The Ron Flatter Racing Pod is available for download Friday at VSiN.com/podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, and sponsored by First Bet. Welcome back to the program. It's Betting Across America, and we are presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you. Midnight Bourbon, James, that's a horse out there. I don't think I've ever had a midnight bourbon.
That's a horse. Sometimes that's a lifestyle, Pritch.
I know.
So I'm betting on that one. I'm down. I relate.
I'm telling you. You know, some of these horses, midnight bourbon. These horses and their names. You wonder where they come up with them, right? And the creativity. Midnight bourbon. Like you said, you're down for a midnight bourbon every once in a while.
Well, we'll keep this G-rated. I could come up with some other ones that relate to my lifestyle, at least in a former life, you know, a few decades ago. That would be some fun horse names. But yeah, always fun to listen to where the names and do a little homework and see where those originated from. Could be some interesting stories.
Yeah, there. Kentucky Derby, not too far away from now either. So NFL win totals, AFC South, the Tennessee Titans. 11-5 last year, James. They lose their offense coordinator. He gets promoted to a head coach. Obviously, we know where he's at in Atlanta. But their win total is 9. The over -110, the under -110. Even with the extra game, the Titans didn't have too much turnover, but yet their win totals go down to 9 here.
Well, it's probably not a good thing on the defensive side. They didn't have much turnover because I think that's where they really needed to. That was the issue for them, and they couldn't stop anybody. They couldn't apply any pressure on the quarterback. And I know Jayon Brown went down, you know, the latter part of the season, and he's the dog on that defense and really sets the edge, you know, sets the tone for them and the physical edge that they want to bring. But I mean, the secondary, no, with no pass rush, it just puts so much more pressure on that secondary. So no turnover there, not a good thing for Tennessee going into this season. And then you try to dig into their schedule here, and you know, this is a challenging schedule for them, and we'll see how when they face these guys. But look at their non-division home games here. They're hosting Buffalo, Arizona getting better. They faced the Chiefs. Miami getting better. San Francisco and New Orleans. Is there a layup game anywhere in there for the home team with the Titans? I don't see one. So this will be a win total here that will be really important for me to see what the schedule looks like and when they're going to play certain opponents and what their opponent's schedule is leading into those games, because that's a difficult home schedule right there. And it's not a great home field advantage as it is there in Tennessee. That's not one of those. It is nowhere near what we see in the Superdome, right? Not a sellout crowd. And maybe the Titans, at least offensively, the change in coordinator, but offensively, we know what they are, right? They are what they are. We know their identity, and Henry's a tremendous back, but, you know, sometimes you can pound him into the ground too, and we saw that happen last year. And what happened with Baltimore? Stacked the line. We're going to take Henry away in that playoff game. They were nowhere to be found. They could not move the football in that game. And I feel like we've seen the ceiling for the Titans, and it's not that high, and it doesn't right now smell like it's going to be high enough to get to 10.
Okay, yeah. Todd Downing is now the offensive coordinator. He's a former quarterbacks coach. He's been in the league for a while. He had a shot at coordinator with Del Rio with the Oakland Raiders a few years ago, but now Tannehill's got to exist with this guy. So a little bit of a regression there. How about the Colts? They're 9.5 win total with Wentz, by the way. The over plus 105, James, the under minus 125. So the Colts win total kind of regresses as well.
Yeah, and I think this is another one where I love the run defense with the Colts, but look at this schedule again, and I got to see when they're playing these teams. Look at this road schedule for the Colts, non-division. Arizona, Baltimore, Buffalo, Miami, San Francisco. When do they play Miami? Are they going to play Miami in September? Brutal. We know what that heat and humidity is like down there. Are they going to play Buffalo? Are they going to play them? When are they going to play Buffalo? Is it going to be a Sunday night in December? Mm-hmm. Nice and cold, early December. Could potentially have to play there. What does that do to the Dome team sitting there in Indy, nice and comfy, and now having to go play outdoors against those teams and those environments? Definitely need to see the schedule play out here. But that road schedule for the Colts, that's brutal.
Yeah, it might take 10 wins to win that division, though, with the extra games, certainly. So 9.5, the over plus 105, if folks like the Colts and that matchup this season. Keep an eye on that. We'll continue with the discussion. We got two more teams in that division, but also return to Major League Baseball. That's coming up next. Football season never ends, and now it's time to get your bets ready for the NFL draft. The teams are evaluating the prospects, and our football experts are looking for betting opportunities. We're looking at team needs, position props, and the futures market to find the best bets on the board. Get full coverage on VSiN.com. Get our daily best bet email updates, 24/7 video access. Plus, we'll be live all night during round one with Brent Musburger, Michael Lombardi, Gil Alexander, Mike Pritchard, and all of your VSiN football experts. Learn more and start your VSiN free trial now at VSiN.com. Welcome back to the program. It's Betting Across America, and we are presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you today. James, rounding out the AFC South, I'm going to blow over the Texans. I mean, they're terrible, horrible. I wouldn't even place a bet on them right now, even if the win total is 4.5. But the Jags, 6.5 win total. The over plus 100, the under minus 120.
Is now Trevor Lawrence all of a sudden going to go a one-win team to go win six more games and get seven?
Yeah.
I'm not sure where that's coming from. I'm not going to go back a Jaguars team to win seven games. This is Trevor Lawrence, plenty to go with, right? And he's a rookie stepping in. I think that this is, I'm not sure where we're seeing that where this team is going to make this big a turnaround. There were plenty of other holes. It wasn't just like the quarterback position. Well, and they had issues at the quarterback position, right? Minshew mania was very short lived for Jacksonville, especially 2 years ago, right? But I think here, I mean, that's a really high expectation for a rookie quarterback to step into a a really bad football team and say they're going to go out now and does it help? Does he come in and help them be competitive? For sure. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that that translates into winning games? This isn't about covering the spread, right? And covering big numbers and, well, that over 6.5 wins when it comes to covering the spread, ATS. This is winning the games outright. Mm-hmm. I just don't see it. And yeah, they're going to play a last place schedule, but even within that last place schedule, they're going to have some really challenging teams on that schedule, Pritch. This is not a layup by any means. You know, road games at against the Rams, the Patriots, Seattle, home games. You got Buffalo coming in. You have Arizona, the Dolphins, San Francisco. This is not I don't see 7 wins here any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
That's one, regardless of when they're playing certain teams. Because I think the other thing here, too, Pritch, is they're not going to sneak up on teams, right? Teams overlooked them. We saw that with the Colts, Indianapolis Colts, the very first week. They were looking ahead. We got this game, I think the heat and humidity wore them out. I think that would be the only advantage for them. And early in the season is playing games at home. Who are they playing? Are they acclimated to that kind of weather or not? Most likely, but something to look at too. But I mean, just initially looking at this schedule, and then Jacksonville is a bad football team with a rookie quarterback and a new coach coming in, hasn't coached in the NFL. 7 wins? Absolutely not.
I know. Don't be enticed by the plus money there for the over, plus 100, because there's no magic potion. Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence, I mean, they're going to have to go through it. It's the National Football League. The under's juice up here.
And it's only juice to $1.20, right? Yeah. It's not like it's juice to $1.60 or something. Mm-hmm. It's $1.20. I mean, that one, I can't wait for that schedule to really be released. You know, the season schedule will be released on May 12th, and it'll take some time. It's a lot of games. But to start digging into that, because I think then being able to apply it here, but this one just jumps off. Just like, I 7 wins for a bad football team, rookie coach, rookie quarterback, all of a sudden aren't going to make them any better. I cannot make a case in any way to say this goes over.
Okay, we return to Major League Baseball. Full disclosure, Stephanie tasked us today, our producer, to come up with our plays. And so over for the day, I had 2 of them, Arizona and Cincy, and my other ones, the Angels and the Astros. And so this game right now, James, still top of the 10th inning, I believe, 14-8. Again, it was 4-2 in the 6th inning. Now, top of the 10th, 14-8. I don't know who's pitching for the Reds, but I don't think it matters.
Hey, man, they're pitching underhand at this point. Just get something over. Well, one of them, I think it was a bases clear. Well, it should have been just a single. The kid dove for it in center field, and he got caught. He didn't know if he should stay in front of it or make the diving attempt. He made the futile diving attempt way short, bounced to the wall, and cleared the bases on a poor decision by the center fielder. But, yeah, this is what we're talking about when we're looking at pitchers and getting into these bullpens, Pritch. First five are team totals. The more we go through this, that's really where I've been able to cash in some pitcher props as well. I didn't see any pitcher props today that I like. Not a great card as far as baseball goes, but you were talking about the Angels and Astros looking at that game. I was looking at that game as well and looking at the Astros bullpen. We talked about the Astros and their lineup being banged up, but I like the team total there with the Angels. That was one of the plays I was looking to play over at 3.5. It is juiced to $1.30 team total for the Angels, but I think they get to 4. Just not that this is indicative of this game we're watching with Arizona and Cincinnati, but it can talk about the Astros bullpen with the injuries that they've suffered. It is not a good bullpen. And then you have with Christian Javier being sent down to work on arm strength coming back. How many innings is he going to be good for? You're going to see a lot of that Astros bullpen today. 3.5 runs for the team total for the Angels seems light.
Okay, and then under of the day, and then this is Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL as well. Suns and the Boston Celtics looking at an under in that situation.
Yeah, for me, I'm as far as the it's a prop. Player prop goes. I'm looking at Chris Paul now. Big game last night. They've got a long road trip. They've been very successful the first 2 games. Right, went to overtime and took down the Bucks the other night and played his props as far as Chris Paul to facilitate. Played the over with his assist that night. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see more facilitation out of Chris Paul tonight going against the Celtics. They just came off of another big win last night. Close game, exciting game against Philadelphia, shorthanded 76ers team. But that's This will be their third road game in 4 days. I think the thing with Coach Monty Williams is he's been managing minutes for his starters. He typically goes 10 deep. He's playing five guys off the bench with a back-to-back situation here. Third game in 4 nights. They still got a number of other games coming up on the schedule on the road during this road trip here. I think we'll see some limited minutes out of Paul. He's not going to top 30 minutes here, and I think he'll be looking more to facilitate tonight. So that's why I played his player props under 15.5.
Okay, Anthony Davis coming back, limited minutes against the Mavs. I like the under in that one, 216 in that game. And then the underdog of the day, James, your dog, my dog, I'm leaning towards Boston or 76ers.
Yeah, and I was looking at the Celtics today, too. Now, the Sixers really shorthanded. We'll have to see what their lineup looks like because they've been without Simmons for a couple games, and we know Tobias Harris hasn't played. Now, back-to-back for Embiid. What is that going to look like? So I was looking more towards Celtics. I wanted to make sure that Kemba Walker was going to play. It looks like he is going to be in. I don't know about Jaylen Brown. I don't think he'll play, but just the base on the Suns, back-to-back nature, third game in 4 days on the road and still more games to come on the road. Limited minutes for the Suns. I like the Celtics tonight. It was plus two. It's down to 1.5. Mm-hmm. I'd look at the money line here instead. It's plus 105 money line. Take the Celtics to win. Not a huge dog, right? But plus 105 to win the game at home. Situation, good spot for the Celtics.
All right, I love it. NBA expert Jonathan Von Tobel, he joins the program. That's coming up next. We all love home runs in Major League Baseball, especially if you are a new BetMGM customer. Turn $1 into $100 when someone goes yard during a game. Sign up for the BetMGM app using VSiN 100, and if you place a $1 moneyline wager on the Yankees or Indians, you'll get $100 if either team hits a home run. It's a new customer offer. Paid and free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old. Located in Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Excludes Michigan. Disassociated persons, please gamble responsibly. If you feel you have a problem, it's 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana and Tennessee. Call or text that red line. 800-889-9789. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the show. It's Betting Across America, and we are presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas are your hosts today, and always happy to bring on to the program our resident VSIN senior NBA expert, Jonathan Von Tobel. JVT, how are you?
I'm good, Pritch. Really good NBA card today. You know, hopefully we get some of the big names back in some of the lineups.
You know, we are getting one guy, I think, Anthony Davis, limited minutes for the Lakers, I believe. But yet you have a total that I believe has come down. It's at 216 now. Dallas is laying 2.5 in this matchup.
Yeah, I got an opener of about 217, 217 and a half. So, yeah, it's come down a little bit. And you're right, he's coming back, 30 games with cap and 30 minutes restriction. It's pretty interesting because, you know, Dallas, from a front court perspective, is going to be shorthanded tonight. You know, Max Kleber is not going to play. He's listed as doubtful. It looks like he's not going to play. I should say that. Kristaps Porzingis has been regularly sitting out second legs of back-to-back, so we keep an eye on that situation as well. At this point, I haven't seen anything about Porzingis sitting down, so maybe you'll get him on the floor here for Dallas. But regardless, you know, Anthony Davis is pretty intriguing because I think for the most part the betting public will probably see this and go, all right, Davis is back. Lakers have been treading water. Let's take a look at this. But the numbers are moving in the Mavericks direction. We have to remember that with Anthony Davis on the floor this year, guys, the Lakers are actually outscored by 5.9 points every 100 possessions if it's Davis without LeBron James. So you're getting that team here tonight. Now, they've been playing better defensively lately. Maybe that helps some things out. But not everything sticks with the Los Angeles Lakers just because Anthony Davis is back. And I would keep that in mind as you kind of move forward with this team. But having said that, look, Dallas is a team that's been wildly, I think, overvalued. I mean, look at their last few games, right?
Yeah.
They were talking about 3-5 straight up, 0-8 against the spread for the Dallas Mavericks, losing games to the Spurs, the Rockets, like just these really head-scratching results. So this is what I kind of scratched off. There's a lot going on. I want to see what the Lakers look like. But I kind of understand the total moving down because I still think the Lakers, from an offensive perspective, are still going to struggle, despite the fact that they got Davis on the floor.
So, JVT, let's move up the card and look at the Suns. Celtics are a small dog. It was 2. Suns were favored by 2 on the road at Boston. It's now starting to tick down to 1.5. And so far, so good for the Suns on this Eastern Conference road trip. But now back-to-back nights, third game in 4 days, having to go into the Celtics team. I think Jaylen Brown is probably the one that's not known yet if he's going to play. But how do you see this game playing out, especially for the Suns, knowing that they've got a number of other road games coming up?
Yeah, you know, this is a really good situational spot, obviously, for Boston, given, you know, what the Suns have been going through. I mean, the Suns clearly, though, we have to keep this in mind. They have taken on the persona of Chris Paul. They're absolutely psychotic when it comes to pushing for this regular season, you know, whether it is competing for the top overall seed potentially in the Western Conference. But, you know, they're taking this extremely seriously. So from a scheduling perspective, it might not be beneficial, but this is a team that has kind of overcome those because of how seriously they've taken this. No Jaylen Brown looks like doubtful is the official term. And with a shoulder injury like that, you probably expect them not to play. And so that hurts Boston, right? Boston is not a very deep team. If you take one of these guys out of the mix, whether it is going to be Brown, whether it's going to be Tatum, who was on the injury report, isn't going to play. But it's not just Brown either. Remember, Robert Williams, Evan Fournier as well aren't going to play today. So I kind of understand wanting to look at a Phoenix in a spot like this. And remember, the overnight line here, guys, was Phoenix minus 7.5. So, you know, some people got in on a really good number because there was a lot more bodies on the injury report for the Boston Celtics than there were right now. If I'm betting on Boston, I want them at full strength. They're such a thin team that it leaves me a little pause when you don't have a key player like Brown. So I would rather be on Phoenix if I'm betting on this game, but I haven't played this.
Yeah, I mean, it is landmine city when it comes to injuries. Who's going to play? Who's not going to play? In particular, JBT, I'm looking at the 76ers and the Bucks, right? Giannis is a game-time decision. I think Ben Simmons is going to be out, but yet Milwaukee, with that defense, is laying 8 against the 76ers. 225 is the total.
Yeah, you know, and you hit on it, that defense, man. Like, the defense hasn't been playing very well at all. It's kind of weird for us to see this number this high, and we're starting to come off of that 8, right? A couple 7.5s are starting to pop up. I grabbed 8 with the Philadelphia 76ers. You know, I think, I don't know if there's questions about whether or not Joel Embiid's going to play. He's been quoted multiple times saying he's going to be on the floor tonight. But look, the Bucks, to your point, Coach, 6-8 straight up, 5-9 against the spread since March 26th. They have a defensive rating of, I think it's right now, like we're talking about like 111.7, but really it's the perimeter defense that's been really poor. We're talking about over this stretch giving up 39.5% on a lot of three-point attempts. And Philly doesn't shoot a lot, but they shoot relatively well for the low amount of shots that they take. And it's just overall, when you look at Milwaukee and the way that they've been playing defensively, the comfortable winning that they give a number against the Philadelphia team that over the last 16 games has led the league in defensive efficiency. And I would say, no, I'm getting Joel Embiid on the court. I'm getting some relatively solid players around him outside of potentially Ben Simmons. For what it's worth, I talked to Tom Byrne today, the 36M NBA. He was on the podcast, Hardwood Handicappers. He said he believes that Simmons is actually going to try to give it a go today. The 76ers have actually talked about how important they find the number one overall seed. It shows in their record at home, too, by the way. So I think you're going to start to see this number come back down as we get closer to game time. The next thing we're going to do is 40 minutes, so we'll see exactly who's on that thing because you'd expect an update here for Philly who hasn't filed this as an official one. But I don't think this is getting past 8, 8.5, barring something spectacular with Joel Embiid not playing. So I grabbed those 8 because I think we're going to start to come back down.
Yeah, and actually, to your point, JBT, out here in Colorado anyway, it is ticking down, and it's still Bucks. Yep. It's down to, I see some 7s, actually, at a couple spots out here. So with that said, looking at the biggest number, one of the bigger numbers on the board with, and we know Orlando, home dog here, +9 in Orlando, number of injuries, and, you know, they're clearly looking ahead to next year and who's going to start getting minutes and open tryouts at this point. But with the New Orleans Pelicans team here laying this many points, just feeling like this is just not a team that you can trust, at least defensively for sure. Is this a game that you would have any interest in trying to handicap and break down with the Pelicans as a 9-point favorite going into Orlando?
Yeah, man, this is a really big number. I'm with you, James. And I took 9, I think an 8.5 just popped up at Circa. So maybe we start to come back down. But I think, look, New Orleans, their own four straight up and against the spread in their last four games. They've been outscored by 6.1 points over 100 possessions. But it's not even just that. It has been the market consistently overvaluing this team, right? It's part of the reason why they don't cover some of these numbers outside of just losing games that rise to favor. But look at this. Market made them a 2.5-point favorite at home against Brooklyn the Ish. Actually, it opened up 3.5, and the market kind of corrected itself a little bit there. They're a 1.5-point favorite in New York, a 3.5-point favorite at Washington, all games that they lost outright. You know, the market has really been heavy on this team. And it's funny because like a week and a half ago, I was making the case that this could potentially be a team that pushes for a play-in spot. But I'm talking about like they're still supposed to be underdogs in spots like these that we were just talking about. Yes. And yeah, I get it. Orlando has not been really good in April. 2-9 straight up, 4-7 against the spread, and like a 14.2 net rating. But we're talking about New Orleans, who hasn't really shown us anything defensively, and their offense has started to fall off. To me, it's just an overvalued team in New Orleans. We have plenty of evidence of that. So I took an inflated number 9. And this is another one of those where I kind of expect this to come back down. We don't have the real injuries to update at this point. So the market's probably going to start to take this number. We'll probably close at 8.5 or 8.
I tell you what, JBT, if you're looking at the Spurs right now, they're sitting on 10 in terms of the Western Conference. And so I don't know if they're a playoff team or not. They're minus 10.5 here against Detroit. But then Detroit, they every once in a while, they have that game in them, right? And so from a betting perspective, what do you see here in this matchup?
Pritch, I think the market needs to give Detroit a little bit more respect. You know, they're sitting on a 5-1 ATS run right now over the last 6 games. And I think, you know, look, they're a team that is clearly tanking, right? Like in terms of giving, like you guys use the term tryouts. They're clearly doing that. If you look at some of the guys that are playing today, Asa Plumlee, Hamidou Diallo, Corey Chosa, Jerry Grant, Dennis Smith Jr., all these guys are going to miss this game today, right? But what Detroit is doing, which is different from some of these other teams, is they have like a really solid young core that they're kind of giving some time to, right? Killian Hayes is back. He missed yesterday's game, but they're sitting him out on the front end of back-to-backs, making sure that hip issue that's kept him out for the majority of the season isn't going to play. And if you look at some of these young lineups that they're rolling out there, Killian Hayes and Sadiq Bey on the floor together, we're talking about a negative 2.4 net rating, but a defensive rating is just 106.2, and you throw in some of these ancillary young pieces, Isaiah Stewart, Josh Jackson, you know, all Frank Jackson. We're talking about net ratings of plus 12.9, plus 13.9, plus 78.7, and it's over small sample sizes, but it's like an effective young defensive lineup. And, you know, we go back a couple of days ago, guys, that played the Cavs. They made the Cavs the market a 3.5-point favorite on the road. Pistons ended up winning that game outright. So I think the market's a little too low on the Pistons, especially with this good game core. So I took 10.5 here with Detroit.
Hey, JVT, before we let you run, last game on the board, one other game on the board, Bulls at home, 1.5-point favorite over the Hornets with a total of 209.5. Any interest in this game?
Yeah, I'd say really quickly, the Bulls over the last few games, guys, without Zach LaVine, they've split two, but they've played the Cavaliers a couple of times, shorthanded Boston team. I'd expect their offense to start regressing here pretty soon. And Charlotte, for everything that's gone wrong with that, it's just because of injuries, right? Their offense has really fallen off. Offensive rating of 108.5 since they lost Horton, Hayward, and Lee Monk. I agree with the market, but to put it that way, I didn't play this, but I think the Hornets would have been the right side. He got like 3.5 with them, which is the opening number.
All right, that was awesome, JVT. Thanks again for your time. Enjoy the games this afternoon and this evening.
You got it, guys. Take it easy. Always good to talk to you.
Absolutely. Jonathan Von Tobel, our VSIN senior NBA expert. You know, James, it's been an eventful day. This baseball game had a little drama to it, but then maybe not. We're talking about the Diamondbacks and the Reds. But I tell you what, to be able to get on my app as I have JVT on the line and I have you as experts, that's fantastic for me.
Well, and keep firing away. Hey, that Reds game is still going. The bullpens are still out there. Yeah. It's 14-9, so these games are not done by any means. Actually, length of baseball, I'd love to get some bets in on there. Length of games, bet the over every time.
Oh, man, I got to get down on that end game action, James. A little bit more comfort for me. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to you being on show back here tomorrow. That'll do it for us today. My guys in the desert coming up next right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.